We got a guest. We'll get into it.
The only thing I want, Jamie, is a text where you click on it and you hear, hello!
That's what I want, too.
That garbage out of here. The Raptors are a 6.5-point favorite tonight, last time I checked, which is a testament to them and their culture and their system, but I think it says more about Detroit and how awful they are. Mm-hmm. Raps in action tonight. Here is our TSN Raptors analyst, Jack Armstrong. How do you read that, Jack, the fact that Vegas is looking at a depleted Raptors lineup and still has faith that they're going to win tonight?
Well, I don't get all caught up in that stuff. I try to stay out of it. But to answer your question, it's surprising, considering that the Raptors are missing three of their top six players in Ananobi, Van Vliet, and Siakam, and they really don't have a home court advantage whatsoever. So you put those two factors into play. I mean, I'm coming here. I'm at the arena right now. I mean, I'm thinking about this game, and I'm saying to myself, this is one of those games. Can you find a way to steal it by one? That would be amazing. And I think you put all the eggs in the basket tonight, guys. You're at Boston tomorrow night, last game before the All-Star break. You got to look and say which game's the more winnable game with the conditions that you're dealing with at this point. I would say it's this one. So, if you got to throw your better players out there and say, hey, man, you're going to play 44, 45 minutes tonight to find a way to win, and then we'll worry about tomorrow night, then so be it. But I think that's the approach that has to be there. And I do think it's a winnable game, but I'm shocked with the number you just mentioned.
Well, it feels like a Kyle Lowry statement game tonight. He's done it so many times in the past. He's well aware of the role he's going to have to play tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. I expect him to lead the charge. I expect him to play very well. I think the fact that Dwayne Casey's in the building might factor into that a little bit as well. I think Kyle's going to go off tonight, and maybe that's what Vegas is thinking.
I hope they're right. I think he's playing really well. In his last four or five games, he's been healthy. When he's been healthy, he's been excellent. And I think creating that much of more interest in him as an older guard around the league, if anything ever happened in terms of trade. I mean, you look at the impact Chris Paul, an older point guard, has made on the Phoenix Suns. I'm sure there's some teams around out there saying, what could this guy do for us, similar to Chris Paul? But I think there, and I think Norm Powell is a guy that they're going to have to really count on him to give him a big night. He's coming off 30 the other night. They're going to need that from him. And Boucher likely will have the opportunity to start. I'll be surprised if he doesn't. And he hasn't been great in his starts, but they're going to need a big night from him. But I'll tell you what, they're a better team when he's on the floor than when he's not.
Jack, you just touched on Kyle. What's your take, big picture, with him? Is he Raptor guy for life? Does he want to sniff around and maybe experience something else in the league? Or how do you see it playing out? Because, as you said, he's an aging guard. How many more years has he got left? Does he play them all in Toronto?
Well, Jeff, it's an interesting question because I think it goes more to the big picture of pro sports and the idea of a Tony Gwynn or a Cal Ripken playing their whole career with one team, or a Kobe Bryant with the Lakers, or whatever the case may be. Now, we've seen a Joe Montana finish his career in Kansas City, and Peyton Manning finished his career in Denver, and Brady now in Tampa Bay. I mean, I can go on and on and on, and Wayne Gretzky being traded. I mean, you could just go on and on, and say to yourself, it's a different world now. And here's my thing: if Kyle Lowry, I think, will get in the Hall of Fame at some point. Is he going to be a first ballot guy? No, but do I think, based upon his resume, when it's all wrapped up, he'll have Hall of Fame credentials? I think he will. How will he go in the Hall of Fame? He'll go in as a Raptor. But does that mean he finishes his career with the Raptors? Maybe, maybe not. I think his legacy is here, but I'm not sure if his future is, because only he can decide that, and only, ownership and management here can make that offer beyond this year. But, no matter what happens with him, whether it happens in 22 days, between now and the trade deadline, or it happens in the off season, his legacy here is intact. But I think the Raptors, no doubt, are in more of a transitional phase in their franchise right now. A year ago, they had the second best record in the NBA. And I firmly believe that if we had crowds and buildings and we didn't have a pandemic, they very well could have gotten back to the NBA finals again. But that didn't happen. And here we are now, and they, you know, they don't have Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, and they're a team that I still think is a playoff team in the East. But now, are you in the middle of the beginning stages of a reboot, or do you want to kind of hold on to what you have? It's an intriguing decision for Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster.
With Jack Armstrong, Raptors back in action tonight, depleted lineup at home in Tampa against Detroit. You mentioned Boucher and the likelihood of him starting tonight, and he has been a revelation for this team this year. He's played really, really well, and he is probably a microcosm of the whole team, like trying to get a read on what is true, what isn't, what you can believe in. How do you see his future playing out, and how does it link to the Raptors moving forward?
Well, you know, they have an option. They have a team option with him. So that's a good thing. So if he continues to perform at the level that he is, I'm sure they'll opt into that, and he'll have another year in Toronto, and you know, then they can figure out if they want to do the dance beyond that. But I think it was smart on their part to, you know, they paid him good money, but to his credit, he's produced not only at that number but beyond that number, and I think now they have control of that for another year. And, you know, so if I'm him, I'm balling every night. I'm bringing it every night. And if he continues to play the way he's playing this year and next year, he's going to put himself in a position, even though he's an older guy, not old, but, you know, an older guy for a guy who's starting to emerge, to get a good next step contract, kind of like what Powell's at right now. Powell can opt out of his deal at the end of the year. And the way he's playing right now, he'd be nuts not to. And to me, I think you look around the NBA, there aren't a lot of two guards in the league playing better than him. I mean, he's playing at a really high level right now. I mean, is he an all-star? No. But I would put him in that next tier of guys that's playing really, really well for a team that isn't a losing team. I mean, I know they're 500 right now, but I think it's a positive story as well, both of those guys.
With Jack Armstrong, so the All-Star Weekend is almost upon us here, and the Rising Stars, the two teams were announced, and there is a lot of Canadian content, a lot of it. R.J. Barrett's there, Lou Dort, who continues to grow as a player, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is going to be a part of that lineup, and it's very exciting, you know, for this country, and it feels like we've been moving in this direction for a long, long time, waiting for it to finally break loose. But this is something worthy of attention, I think, Jack. And you're a basketball lifer, and you're always focused on both sides of it, the pro game and the up-and-coming part of it. What should we make of this, the young Canadian talent throughout the NBA?
Oh, my God, I'm ecstatic. You know, I mean, Canada is the number two country in the world behind the United States for NBA representation. I mean, this is just incredible. It's awesome. And I think the best is yet to come. Think of all those little girls, little boys that witnessed the Raptors in 2019 win a title.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the impact that has. I'll never forget, I was in Halifax right like a month after the Raptors won it, and I was at a golf event, and Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon were there, and, you know, I had the good fortune to meet them, and they were great guys, and they wanted to talk about the Raptors. They wanted to talk basketball, and I just said to them, I said, think about it. If you guys were like 5 or 6 years old now, would you be picking up the skates or would you be picking up a ball? And they looked at me and said, that's a very good question. You know, so I we'll see what that impact is down the road, but it's funny. I got something today, and I hope I'm not going off on a tangent here, but I think it makes sense of where things are here now. I got a release, you know, saying that on Yes Network in New York, the Yankees Blue Jays exhibition game was the second highest rated exhibition game in Yankee history on television. And, you know, the only one that was higher was the Yankees-Mets in a preseason game a few years ago. And I looked at the number and I laughed because the Raptors preseason rating number is higher than that. And I think we would all agree that the Yankees are probably one of the 3 to 5 most iconic franchises in the world. And yeah. the Raptors, for a preseason game, get more people watching their game than the Yankees do. You know, so I to me, it just speaks to the power of where this thing's going. It's the fastest growth sport in Canada. You know, we're the only NBA team in the country. We're on coast to coast every night. And to me, I honestly, I think people still don't really understand how big a deal it is. I talk to people with other NBA teams and people from the NBA, and you have to educate them on it because they really don't even see it. And this is the third largest market, Toronto, in pro sports behind New York and L.A. So the power of Toronto, the power of Canadian basketball, I just think the best is yet to come. And I'm so thrilled for those kids. And I'm really excited to see what some 8-year-old girl is going to do someday playing in the WNBA, or some 11-year-old little boy is going to do playing in college basketball in the NBA. So it's really exciting.
Jack, I don't want to bring you down at all, but boys want to know what's happening with your Buffalo Sabres and what, you know, what your outlook on their club and how things have been going for them recently is.
Honestly, guys, I tell you what, it's my middle son who played at college hockey. I mean, he's like a Sabre fanatic, and my wife's all over my case about them. I'm like, you know, like they're ticked. And I'm just going, you know, there's probably amazing pressure. The fact that the Pegulas owned the Bills, and they hit on Sean McDermott, and they hit on Brandon Bean in terms of their partnership executive and coach. And quite frankly, they've spent a lot of money on a lot of different GMs and coaches, and for whatever reason, it hasn't worked. In my opinion, if I were the Sabres, and they don't care what my opinion is, but in my opinion, I would go high. The first thing I would do is go hire a president, a hockey guy that is a president. You saw Berkey going to Pittsburgh. But if I were them, I'd hire an older guy who has no interest in being a GM anymore, no interest in being a head coach anymore, but it's a terrific hockey guy, and be the president of the Sabres, and now let that guy with a partnership with ownership, say, okay, this is who our GM is, this is who our coach is, and let's get this thing straight now. Because
Jimmy Rutherford's out there, Jack. Jimmy Rutherford's out there.
Well, I think Jeff O'Neill's out there too.
Yeah.
You know, I love Jimmy Rutherford, but we got to put some cash in Old Dog's pocket. And then Noodles as the GM. I think, you know, think about it.
Well, there's a bunch of jokers that say they're in on jobs, Jack, so I might as well throw my name in the loop as well.
No, but seriously, I personally think, and you look at the model here in Toronto. You got Masai, Bobby, you got an excellent coach. You look at Shanny and Kyle, and, you know, I mean, you know, to me, you got to have levels and you got to have different perspectives. Yeah, you know, this is management 101. This is, you need another really educated person in there that has a seen it from a totally different perspective that can be an advocate and a supporter of both the GM and the coach. And
I get that, Jack, but Jerry Pakula has fired and hired a lot of people in the last 5 years.
But I would say that. I would agree with that. And there's a lot of money spent. And on the football side, they've paid a king's ransom to tell Rex Ryan to go away too. I mean, it's on both sides, but it's about getting the right people. And I know for a fact, because he's a friend of mine, Bill Polian was very helpful to the Pegulas, saying, hey, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, these are the right guys, get them. And you gotta have that. And to me, I personally think they need a 3-tier approach rather than a 2. And you need that person who's a president that can educate ownership, who's not as much in the fray, but nonetheless can educate ownership on how to go about it and see the big picture. Because right now, I think there's a little disconnect there.
Well, I can't dispute that. I mean, there's a big disconnect there with what's going on with the Sabres. But we'll see. The Leafs are back in action tonight, and the Raptors are back tonight. They're depleted, but they're favored. And you can watch it on TSN. We look forward to it. Enjoy it, Jack. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Get that cabbage out of here!
Old dog and noodles. I can see it. We'll be hanging out at the Anchor Bar together. We're having some wings. This would be unbelievable.
Make it happen.
Jack, you tell the Sabres they pay me $10 million a year, I'll be the president and GM.
That's a good gig. I'd take that. Particularly in Western New York, the cost of living, you'd live like a king.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. He'd live in Toronto, and that wouldn't go. And then the Buffalo News would break it, and he'd get fired. That's how it would work. But it's all good. Thank you, Jack.
You got it, guys.
Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst. I wonder how that would go over if you took over as president and GM in Buffalo.